Well, maybe it will help if I, was that clear enough for you? That makes sense? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament, and I'll show you some of these covenants. And you'll understand the foundation of how this stuff unfolds here. In Genesis 12, God made promises to Abraham. Genesis 12. Abraham is 75 when this whole thing starts. So it says in Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." So here's your wow. He had to leave everything, and in those days you travel by a caravan. And you wouldn't leave your family. Well, he's told not only to leave his family, but he's got to leave his country, his land. "And I will make of thee a great nation," verse 2, "and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So there's the promise given to Abraham. When you read promise, then you got to go back and see what the promise was. All the families of the earth would be blessed because of faithful Abraham. But it doesn't tell us the manner in which God was going to bless all the families of the earth, does it? No. "And Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 when he left Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, Lot his brother's son, and all their stuff, their substance that they had gathered," their stuff, junk and things, "and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land of the place of Sichem unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy" what?
Seed
"will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared to him." Now go to chapter 15. It's a little later on. Now he's 99. So he made promises to him when he was 75. And he obeyed. Left the land and headed to the land of Canaan. 15:1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus," this adopted banker guy I got. "And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be your heir. And they brought him forth abroad." You know what he did? He took him to the bathroom. That's what it is to go abroad in the East. You go abroad, you have your paddle strapped on your robe and everything, and if you had to go number two, you'd dig a hole, cover it up, you know, so it was all clean. But you'd go outside your area. So he took him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you're able to number them." And he said, "So shall thy seed be." So here he's standing life in his hands, looking at the stars above, and so shall thy seed be. And his wife is barren. Now look at his response. He believed in the Lord, and he counted him. The Lord counted it to him for what?
Righteousness.
That's right. And he said to him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Boy, he's a pretty bold guy, huh? And he said to him, I want you to take a heifer 3 years old, she-goat 3 years old, ram 3 years old, turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So he took them unto him, all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, he drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great what?
Substance.
More stuff. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be married in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it shall come to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. A burning furnace and what? These symbolize God. Many times in the scriptures you can read that he was a lamp, or he was a fire, or different things. This is symbolizing God passing through the sacrifices between the pieces. Verse 18, and in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenizzites and the Kadamites and the Hittites and Perizzites and the Adicites, all of them, the Raphaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, Girgashites, and the Jebusites, all of those folks. So, God covenanted with Abraham, and the terms were that God promised that Abraham's seed would inherit the land, and believing was the only commitment of Abraham. God confirmed the covenant with the sign that symbolized his presence. Now look at chapter 17. He makes another one. This is when he's 99. In chapter 17, we read in verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee how? And Abram fell on his face and talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. But his wife was barren. How's this going to work out? Verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Imagine, 99 years old, your wife is barren, and God tells you you're going to be the father of many nations. Just put yourself in his sandals. I mean, you got to have some humanity here. He started out at 75, left all his stuff, left his country, his kinsmen, and they headed out to the land of promise. And then God, he said, how do I know all this stuff is going to, he was 86. So he made a covenant with him. Now he's 99. He still hadn't done anything. No seed. And his seed was supposed to inherit the what? The land. So, in verse 5, neither shall, he changes his name. Verse 6, I'll make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I'll establish my covenant between me and you, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their what? So their seed was going to inherit the land, as in the previous covenant, and Abraham is going to have an heir. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. So he made the covenant, and then he gave him a seal of the covenant, a sign of the covenant. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. How old was he?
99.
And he's getting circumcised. I remember playing Little League, and one of the guys on the team got circumcised when he was 13. Oh, my God. I can't imagine getting circumcised at 99. He couldn't move at 13. He was sore for days. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It will be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house, or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh, for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God says to Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of who?
Her.
Wow. Any of you 90?
No.
You want to have a baby at 90?
No.
Yea, and I'll bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before. See, he had her, Sarah, because she was barren, gave him her handmaiden. So she had Ishmael, a son, through her handmaiden. That was not the heir. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I blessed him, and will make him fruitful, multiply exceedingly. 12 princes he'll beget, and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with who?
Isaac.
He was the child of promise, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time in the next year. And we left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael. And all the men of his house born in the house, bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. So his covenant here that he made confirmed the previous covenant that he would give him a seed, that he would have a son by Sarah, and that seed would inherit the land. And the terms where circumcision was to be the token of the second covenant between God and Abraham and his seed. And Abraham was to walk before God, and he was to be perfect. So those were two different covenants. Now, look at the one he makes with Israel. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we read in verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. And the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. And I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up to the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. And then he goes through and gives them the commandments. Look at, where are we, what verse? 7. Is that it?
7.
Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that's in the earth beneath, and that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. No work in that day. Nobody. Verse 15, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out through a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. 16. You keep reading the commandments. He keeps giving the commandments to him. If you look back in 4, and in verse 13 it says, And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them on 2 tables of stone. So he not only talked to them face to face, gave them commandments, he also had them written in a book. Okay? So it's not like they were ignorant bystanders. It was a bilateral agreement between God and the children of Israel, and Moses mediated between them. Look at chapter 19. 19:1. And when the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee, the midst of the land the Lord will give to possess it. Thou shalt prepare a way, divide the coast of the land which the Lord thy God gives thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. Okay, so he goes this through all the way down to verse 9. And he says, if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, verse 8, as he swore to thy fathers, and shall give thee the land which he promised to give to thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more for thee beside these three, for these guys that committed crimes. Go to chapter 20. Verse 1. And when thou goest out to battle against the enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thee, be not afraid of them. Wow, pretty good promise. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you come nigh to the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, don't tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Wow. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes all the way through this chapter with him on this. Look at chapter 24. Exodus. Go to Exodus now. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 24. Still talking about the law and the covenant. 24:1. And he said to Moses, Come up hither to the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, and they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord hath said we will do. Woo! And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood, put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, All that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, the 70 elders, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said to Moses, Come up to me in the mountain, be there, and I'll give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up to the mount of God. And he went to the elders, Tarry ye here for us until we come again. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. And if any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went to the mount. A cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord upon the Mount Sinai. And the Lord covered it, 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain, the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. Moses was in the mount 40 days and what?
40 nights.
Quite a deal, huh? God promised to be their God and to take care of them. I mean, looking back at this, you'd say, wow, who would ever walk away from a God like that? He spoke out of a fire and a cloud. He gave them stones with the commandments on it. He wrote them a book. He spoke with them face to face. And they agreed to the terms of the covenant. All this will we do. And before he gets to the top of the hill, they'd already broken two commandments. They'd made a golden calf, taken the women's earrings, had Aaron make a golden calf. Unbelievable. Anyway, God promised to be their God and to take care of them. And the children of Israel promised to keep all the words in the book of the covenant. And it was ratified by the sacrifice of animals and the sprinkling of blood, both on the altar and on them. And yet Israel broke it time and time again. That ends up being the reason the house of Israel was carried away into captivity, and later on the house of Judah was carried away in captivity. After Rehoboam, the kingdom was split to the southern two tribes of Judah and the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And they both ended up going into captivity because they broke the terms of the covenant. So while they're away in captivity, go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30. Chapter 30, verse 1. And the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken to thee in a book. Jeremiah 30, verse 1. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned pale. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. So he's prophesying of a future time here. Look in chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 27. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. This says that the fathers sinned. They ate a sour grape, and the children's teeth needed dental work. So he's now going to correct this proverb or this saying, and he says, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eats the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. So no longer is the nation as a whole going to come under this covenant, but the people individually will be responsible for it. Verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant what I will make with the house of Israel. Includes both Judah and Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my what?
People.
He's talking about the new covenant. No longer will the covenant be in stones. It will be written where? In their hearts. And they shall no more teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So no longer the father's sins affected the children. Each person was to be responsible for his own actions. Every person was to die for his own iniquity. In chapter 31, we read in 31 through 34, a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah. The terms, God promises, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God and they will be my people. And I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. So that was the new covenant that God promised them. Well, let me give you some homework, because you're getting tired. If you read Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, God talks about his servant. And in the verses 5 through 8, his servant he was going to give as a covenant of the people and for a light to the Gentiles. He's speaking of the new covenant. And his servant, speaking of Jesus Christ, would be the one that would be given for a covenant of the people. Then if you read in 49, 1 through 5 and 6 through 8, it speaks of Christ as God's servant. And you're all familiar with Isaiah 52 and 53. He goes through this section and he tells all the things that his servant, Jesus Christ, was going to accomplish for the people. I'll read you one verse and then we'll go home for the evening here. Hebrews chapter 12. So this is referring to back to those sections of Scripture you can read for homework. Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant that God will make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It's a new covenant. This will be of the Spirit. And he's going to put it in their inward parts, he says. Show you one last one. Maybe this will make more sense to you. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. This covenant could not be established until after he did everything that was required of him to make the new covenant. It would require his blood for him to die on the tree in the stead of all of Israel. He would pay for all of their sins with sinless blood. And God would raise him from the dead. Wow. You want to talk about the grace of God. They saw it, but they didn't know much about it. The other prophets. But in 2 Corinthians, I lost my place, chapter 3, he was going to write his word in the law in their inward parts. It says, verse 2, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with what? But with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in what?
Fleshly
tables of the heart. He was going to write his law in their inward parts. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of what?
God.
Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Diakithi, I think, is the word. I don't know, I can't even read small print anymore.
Yes,
this late. Is that right, Diakithi? It's the word bereath in the Hebrew. This covenant, when you read testament in the New Testament, you ought to understand it the same as the Hebrew word bereath, which is covenant. And you can't read it like we talk of our last will and testament. It's not like that. You've got to think of those sections in Hebrews and here as a bilateral agreement between two, God and people. So this is speaking of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the letter gives what? Verse 7. But if the ministry of death, the ministry of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministry of the Spirit be more and more glorious? Malonde. More and more glorious. For if the ministry of condemnation, speaking of the law, be glory, much more doth the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that exceeds it. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is much more glorious. And not as Moses, which had to put a veil over his face that the children of Israel couldn't steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were hardened. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away where?
In Christ.
But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is still upon their what?
Christ.
But even unto this day, the veil's on their heart. Nevertheless, when that heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be removed. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, it's a glass, it's a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory of the new birth to the glory of the new bodies we will get, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's from glory to glory. Today we have the glory of the new birth spirit. When Christ returns, we will have the glory of new bodies like his. When you look in the mirror of the Word into this gospel of God concerning His Son, having God's Spirit written in your hearts, not on stone, then you can see and you can understand these things. Isn't that wonderful? So the gospel of God concerning his son Jesus Christ, there were things known before concerning Israel, and there were that the Gentiles would be blessed was also known. But what was not known was the manner in which those Gentiles would be blessed. And that is the revelation of the mystery. It reveals the manner in which the Gentiles will be blessed. We all have the same promise, the joint promise, members of a joint body and joint heirs together. And you'll see more of that tomorrow. So, Father, thank you for your goodness, for the great grace you've shown us to let us in on these things, the things that you prepared for them that love you, Father. And thank you for giving eyes to see and hearts to believe it, and that it just excites our hearts to where we effervesce. Thank you for all of your goodness and great grace through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Sleep tight. What time tomorrow?
9:00
tomorrow.